you got something to say, this is the place to say it. The whole nation can hear what it is you're thinking. 133353 is the telephone number. Now, Rod Hanafy joins us for the first time this year. Rod is the national president of the Road Freighters Association. Boy, oh boy, have we missed our truckies over the last 5 or 6 weeks. Still missing them. We've talked about this many, many times. If the truck drivers get sick and can't work, the nation comes to a standstill. Anyway, Rod Hanafy is there. If you're in the trucking industry, you've got a question for Rod. If you think there's something happening in the industry that he needs to know, you can call us right now. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Rod Hanafy's next here on Triple M.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Rod Hanafy, the president of the Road Freighters Association, been joining us since we started here on the Triple M Network. We're now into our sixth year, which is unbelievable. And he's back with us now. Happy New Year, buddy.
And a happy trucking good new year to you, mate.
Wow. And look, when we first started this program, and we didn't know how long we'd last, we didn't know if anyone would listen, and you convinced me that there are a lot of people out there on the roads who, and they don't all like country music. Some truckies don't mind classic rock. And a bit of a chat. And I'd love to say that you being a regular on the program that's kept me and Jess in touch with the trucking industry, and God, we've learned a lot. I'd love to say it was my idea, but I took some convincing, didn't I?
You did, mate. You did. And look, you know, you've spoken to truckies and you know they're out there, but there's a hell of a lot of us that are interested. We all want to get home safe, and you certainly help us doing that by keeping us occupied. You give us a chance to talk to you and have a chat, and that certainly helps a lot of blokes. And we are a very, in some ways, invisible workforce. People see the trucks. They don't see the drivers. You give the drivers a voice in one way, and you keep us entertained in another, mate. And look, you know, I'm certainly very happy to be a part of it, but your show helps a lot of blokes. And it's not simply about, you know, stopping them from getting tired. It's keeping your mind occupied. It's looking at some of the issues and trying to work for solutions on them, mate, because, geez, they're hard to fix.
They are really important issues. And this is the thing that I've learned. They are, and I've learned that if the truckies sneeze, the whole nation gets the flu. And we saw exactly that happen this Christmas, Rod.
And mate, to every truckie that's out there, we've done a bloody good job. We've been really bloody sat on with legislation that changes by the time that the ink's dry. We've had people close our truck stops without a second thought to how we're going to eat and stay clean and fit and healthy. We've had borders close overnight and blokes queued for hours. And we've still delivered everything to everyone. And yes, the panic buying.
I have absolutely no idea what happened. And the computer just went haywire on me.
Not guilty.
The computer just went haywire on me. I have no idea what happened then. I don't even know how I stopped it. So we'll start again. Rod Hanafy with us, the president of the National Road Freighters Association. Rod, you were saying how important truckies are. And I learnt that over 5 years, now into our sixth year. And I said before all that, that we've learnt this Christmas that if truckies get sick, the whole nation does, because important freight doesn't get delivered and the whole country can easily come to a standstill. Do you think the politicians are now learning that? And do you think truck drivers now will be treated with the respect that they deserve?
In a perfect world, the politicians would have an understanding, and I'm sure you've seen places where they've said, well, we thank the truckies, but I still don't think that we are being treated as we should, that we're not recognised for what we do and what we give up in our lives, for our lifestyle, to feed and fuel and clothe everybody. And whilst we're at this point now where the industry's been at capacity, and there is a thing called a supply chain, it's not just us, it's having the fruit pickers to pick the fruit so that we can deliver it to the stores. It's having the people in the distribution centres that send it out to the store for you to buy. It's all the stuff you buy online. But then it's all the fuel tankers. Like, without them, you don't have any fuel. And without the trucks that do all the local work, you don't have the stuff that goes to your door. So we've done a terrific job, but we're stressed and we're at capacity and we're not being looked after.
So what happened while I was away on holidays and is still happening today? Empty shelves. I've got doctors screaming that they can't get their booster vaccinations because the government's saying it's because the trucks can't deliver them. We've got people looking out for RATs, the rapid antigen tests. They can't be delivered because the truck drivers are out of action. I spoke to local GP Dr. Philip Norrie, who has spoken on this program quite a few times over the last couple of years. He's written two books on the history of viruses, and his frustration at not being able to provide booster vaccinations for his patients came to an edge last Friday. And I spoke to him last night on the program. Here's a little of what he had to say, Rod. Have a listen.
Well, it gets back to organisation. There's the general who's supposed to be in charge of the distribution of the vaccine. Somebody should tell him that he has a transport corps and he could use the drivers and the trucks from the transport corps and help with the lack of drivers, because I was expecting my vaccine 2 weeks ago and we rang up on the Friday saying, where is it? And DHL said, well, we haven't got enough drivers because they've either got COVID or their contacts and have to be off for 7 days. So there was not enough drivers and we got pushed back to last week. So we had to re-cancel all the bookings we had for vaccinating people and then reschedule them, which is very frustrating. The patients get cranky. But it is all just because of the lack of drivers. Well, why can't we use the drivers that are in the Australian Army Transport Corps, for example?
Okay. Dr. Philip Norrie, he's saying if the truck drivers are sick and they can't deliver important goods, bring in the army. Your thoughts?
Mate, there's a reason that we are short of drivers and we are struggling to attract people to the industry for the way that we're treated in the media, the way that we have been abused. Every time there's been a crash for the last 10 years, it's been a truck crash and we're guilty by default. There is no training of other drivers, young car drivers, about sharing the road with trucks. And when there's an accident, we get the blame for that. Then, of course, when COVID hit, we were treated badly, and some blokes have simply said, it was a hard enough job before. I'm not doing it anymore. I just can't see the value in it. For them to give up their lives, and the amount of testing that we've done, what we've managed to deliver so far, and yet here we are at this break point now, and they're suddenly realising, oh, we don't have enough drivers, and we've known that issue was coming for a long, long time.
Bringing in the army when truck drivers, for whatever reason, can't deliver, is that something that concerns you? Because it's a reserve workforce, isn't it? Obviously, truck drivers don't want to be easily replaced, but if it's through no fault of their own and they're sick or they're a close contact and they're told to isolate, what other choice do we have?
Mate, some of those things could be done, but you can't just pull a bloke out of thin air, whether he's, you know, in army, wherever he is, he's in an army base or he's driving an army truck, but then you can't just put him straight into a Kenworth V double with a load of dangerous goods to deliver that tomorrow. We've argued that there needs to be an apprenticeship scheme. Finally, the government is looking at that. That will help us train young drivers and get them involved and give them the skills they need. But we're not recognised for the skill we have. Now, mate, two things that you often hear. Oh, put it on the train. And that's all well and good if you want it to go to Perth, maybe. And look how well the money that we spent on the Darwin Rail worked. That didn't work. And yet the truck picks it up at your door, delivers it to your door, and we do that really, really well. But people don't understand how it works, what we give up to do that, and the training and the skill level. And a new B double. I finally got my new truck, mate. I picked it up
Saturday. You sent me a photo on my phone. Yep. Yeah.
And it should be on the road this week. It's got to get a couple of lights done, a registration done in Dubbo, and a couple of little jobs done. I hope it'll be on all right. Now, that's worth well over $400,000 just for the truck, let alone the trailers. And then you could put $1 million worth of freight behind it. Now, do you want someone who you've just picked out of an army base that's been driving his little truck round and round the army site with his set load and what he does, running up and down the highway with that tomorrow?
So are you suggesting that truck drivers in the army, in the Department of Defence, aren't qualified to drive the bigger trucks?
No, I'm not suggesting that they're not qualified. They're driving bigger trucks. And in the army, look, they do give them good training. But it's about loading everything. It's about delivering. They don't use logbooks in the army, mate. They've got no idea how to manage a logbook and the bloody fines they're likely to get if they go 10 minutes too far down the road.
Okay, just let me play devil's advocate. Okay, so in the case of an emergency, we use the army in emergency situations like floods and bushfires. So when the country is pulled to a standstill because of COVID and a lack of drivers, ditch all those requirements and let the army drive trucks and deliver groceries and COVID vaccinations and rats and all that. Let them deliver it under a new set of emergency rules.
But then if you're going to do that for army drivers who don't do it all the time, why wouldn't you suggest at least a moratorium on fines for stupid, non-safety related and ridiculous fines for minor breaches of not putting a date in your logbook for a driver that's been doing it for the last 30 years? That has been done in the States when they had the hurricanes over there. They exempted drivers from their hours of service over there. Now, if you're going to offer that to the army, who aren't doing it all the time, why wouldn't you at least give us a little bit of leeway to make a little bit more effort but not be punished for it severely and lose all the wages you've just earned for the week?
133353 is the number. Rod Hanafy is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. You got a question for Rod, please feel free to talk to him. Rod, we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll take some calls. Shall we do that?
We certainly shall.
You're listening to The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. The Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, a song that I actually did intend to play. Here on The Night Shift, Luke Boner, Miss Jess, and because it's Tuesday, Rod Hanafy, President of the National Road Freighters Association. Rod, before we go to calls, and there's a lot of people there that want to say hello, you might be in for a big one today. What are the rules when it comes to truckies contracting COVID? Because it's very confusing because they keep changing the rules. If a truckie is just a close contact, that is therefore a member of his family perhaps, has tested positive, does the truck driver, even though his RAT tells him that he's negative, does he have to isolate for 7 days or not?
According to the last that I looked at, if you do not have any symptoms, you can go to work and obviously then you've still got to do what you're supposed to do, isolate and wash your hands and keep away from people and all those things. But then, of course, as you say, mate, it varies in states and it varies to interpretation. And it's one of our biggest problems, that the law is meant to be black and white, but geez, there's a lot of grey in there and we end up suffering every time the grey comes about.
Oh, it's so confusing. To your knowledge as president of the National Road Freighters Association, what percentage of truck drivers are out of action? Do you know?
No, I don't. I haven't been given that figure. I know some companies have been affected more than others, and that depends on what sort of market that you're in and how often you deal with other people. There was an issue, and I think you and I talked about it quite some time ago, in that where we go to truck stops, it's the one place that we need for food and toilets and everything else, there was a suggestion made that there should be a way to keep us away from the rest of the public, because at that time we were very pretty much clear of it, and yet we still have to fuel the trucks. We still have to go to those sites. And, of course, it was poo-pooed, no, we can't do that. Mm. And it was a bit like the argument, you know, why would you go and get a test with all these people who are sick when you're not sick? And some of those things that you look at, you think, have they really thought this through in stopping the spread? And look, I'm not an expert. I don't run the country. I don't want to. But, geez, there are times when you look at it and think, have they really considered what we contribute and how we're going to be able to do that job and continue to do it as this goes along?
133353 is the number. Let's talk. Tony, good morning. Where are you?
You're talking to me, Luke?
I'm talking to you, Tony, and you're talking to Rod Hanafy. What did you want to say?
Okay. Hey, Rod, I've been driving for 46 years.
Yes, mate.
I've been getting, like, maybe if I'm lucky, a fine every 10 years. Now, yep. In a month, I've got three for the same camera in the ring road in Melbourne saying that I was doing 95 on the 80K zone. Now, I know I bet the camera, and he's a bit more than, I spoke to the highway head ticket, they said he's more than 150 people got booked at the same camera, and right. They all got the same story that I got, and he can't help me. He reckons even if we go to court, and we win, I'm still going to lose my points. Now,
okay. So you're not the first bloke I've heard. The argument that I was given by one was that there were roadworks in place.
Yes.
And again, if you've got dash cam footage that shows
I haven't got dash cam, that's a problem.
Well, that's where they're very helpful in giving you evidence, mate. What I suggest you do is talk to the people at Highway Advocates. Because if there's,
he can't help me.
He can't help you. Oh, right. No. What? Because it's. What was his reason that he couldn't help you?
No, he said even if we go to court and we win.
Yes.
Even if we win, I'm still going to lose my points. And even he said it. What? She's going to court and paying me $3,500 and you're still going to lose your points.
Yes. Okay. I would have thought that there was an avenue for like a class action, but again, I'm not a lawyer, mate, so I don't know how that works.
I have Robert Bell from Highway Advocates on tomorrow for the first time this year. And can I just suggest to you, to Tony, our caller, call back tomorrow with Robert on the line because there may have been a misunderstanding. It seems to me as though Highway Advocates, if you're cleared, you should be cleared of both the fine and the demerits, Rod Hanafy. It doesn't sound quite right. If you're clear, you're clear.
Yes.
So I'm not a lawyer either, but Robert Bell from Highway Advocates, highwayadvocates.com. They're on tomorrow night. This time tomorrow, Robert Bell will be on, Tony. I'll put you back to Jess. We will ring you when Robert's on tomorrow and you'll be our first caller and you can explain it, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Tony. Jess, can you get Tony's details off air and we'll talk to him tomorrow with Robert Bell from Highway Advocates. It's a legal group that's dedicated its entire energies towards helping truckies get out of a legal jam. And Rod Hanafy, you discovered Highway Advocates and now they advertise with us here on the night shift and Robert Bell talks to me and talks to our listeners every Wednesday.
And that's it, mate. There are a lot of truck stop lawyers and there are a lot of blokes who think they know. There was a case recently, whether you've seen it, mate, a bloke was told he didn't need professional help and went to court and he looks like losing everything he's worked for the last 50 years. And that's a terrible outcome for him. And where we go with that, I really don't know whether it, having advice would have solved that problem. But yeah, in the areas of the law, geez, it's you really need to know what you're talking about, not think that you know and find you're wrong.
Yeah, that's right. Highwayadvocates.com.au, Robert Bell on tomorrow night. Rod Hanafy is with us. 133353, got to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll take a whole stack of calls. I discovered how important the trucking industry was because of you, and I'll take one piece of credit. I let you know how good Nature B is, correct?
Yes, you did, mate, you did.
What did Nature B do for you?
Mate, it's funny, even though for me, but I was talking to a driver the other day and this came up in conversation and he said something had happened where he'd forgotten to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And he noticed that he got really tired that night. And he went back on it and he said, and I said, okay, I haven't noticed that myself, but it was interesting that obviously he's a listener to the show. You convinced him and he'd given it a try, and he noticed a very big change in how able he was to operate that night when he wasn't taking it. So I just thought, yeah, coming from someone else, mate, another user, I thought that may even be more valid than me telling you it's good stuff.
Well, it is good stuff. It is all natural. And I've been taking Nature Bee Power Pollen for 22 years this year. And it keeps you healthy. And it supports your immune system. And it does it naturally. It's not a drug or a medicine. It is a food. It comes from the bumble. It comes from the bees. It comes from flowers. It's pollen that has every vitamin and mineral known to man delivered to your bloodstream completely naturally in the form of a little golden capsule. If you've got family, you've got children, they can take it too. Pull the capsule apart, sprinkle the contents on their cereal or in their juice or in their milk or whatever, and you know they're getting all the daily nutrients and vitamins they need. It is a miracle food from Mother Nature. And there is a special deal. Powerpollen.com.au. 6 months supply. Cookie is throwing in an extra month. So it's 7 months. It'll power you up till the end of August. And he's also throwing in the amazing lip balm. $129.95 plus delivery. Money back guarantee. More energy. Sustained energy. And so many Nature Bee Power Pollen customers have reordered. Why? Because it bloody works. Money back guarantee if it doesn't. Now, the offer ends January 31. So order now. Powerpollen.com.au. Tell them I sent you. Powerpollen.com.au. More energy, an improved immune system, a supported immune system. All natural. No sugar, no caffeine, just nature. It's unbelievable. It is a superfood. Powerpollen.com.au. This offer ends January 31. Quick break, be back. Hey, Rod, just before we go to calls, 133353, you know our good mate Joe Ayub from Swiftgrow?
Mm-hmm.
He's moving to the University of Western Sydney. Near Windsor, he's been invited because they're doing intensive research into environmentally friendly aquaculture. And they've invited him to go out there and help them with their study. So he's moving his whole Barramundi shebang to the University of Western Sydney. And he's after two 40-foot shipping containers. And he's asked me to put out an SOS. He's happy to buy them, rent them, borrow them. He needs two 40-foot shipping. I don't know where you find these things. If there's anyone out there in Triple M land that has two or can send Joe from Swiftgrow in the right direction of two 40-foot shipping containers, please contact, go to swiftgrow.com.au or you can phone through and or email me and Jess and we'll pass it on. Where do you get a shipping container from, Rod Hanafy?
Mate, there are people that sell them when they come out of the shipping trade. So they have a certain lifespan. And, of course, they're out in the ocean, so they tend to get a bit of rust in them and a bit of wear. And people sell them for storage containers out on farms. We occasionally have them ourselves out at our yard at Dubbo. There are others that sell them in Sydney. I've certainly picked them up in Sydney for people who have bought them. So they're not impossible. And at the moment, there's... quite a glut of empty containers in Australia with the way the trade has gone. So I'm sure he should be able to find them, and I don't have a particular name in front of me, but some of the truckies will be in and out of those places in Sydney, mate, and should be able to come up with something to help him.
All right. Joe from Swiftgrow, he needs two. There's 20 and there's 40-foot. Apparently he needs the 40-foot, two of them. I went somewhere recently on holidays where on this particular farm they had these cabins. Bed and breakfast type cabins on this farm, and they were made out of shipping containers.
Shipping containers,
yeah. Anyway, you let's talk to some people. That's what you're here for. Mardo's online. G'day, Mardo. What's up?
G'day, mate. I'm amazed at the way you carry on.
Yeah, I can't believe we're in our 60 years. Our sixth year of broadcasting on the Triple M.
I'm 63 and a bit.
Yeah, we're still here. I'm amazed at how we carry on too. What's
I'm
up?
Shocked. I'm shocked. But hey, one of the best jokes in the world is that, well, shipping containers are a good joke.
Yeah. Anyway, you know? Mardo, did you wanted to talk to Rod Hanafee about trucking? What did you want to say, buddy?
I reckon the truckies are the lifeblood of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And if we lose them, well, we've lost our life.
That's right. People are just starting to work that out. We need to treat truckies better.
Yeah. And these blokes, sometimes they work for nothing, basically.
Certainly the hourly rate, yes. When you look at what you put in and what you get paid, and look, none of us want to really get paid more. We just want to be paid for what we do.
Now, because quite often that's what they're working for.
Mm.
It's pretty sad.
It is. Thanks for your call, Mardo. It is pretty sad. And bringing in the army when the trucking industry has fallen over, Rod, you don't believe that's the answer?
Oh, I don't believe it's going to solve all of our problems, mate. It's like everything. There is always a multitude of solutions, but you have to do them properly. And as I say, why not give us a little bit more flexibility or remove the penalties? We've spoken about fines for absolutely ridiculous things that have nothing to do with road safety. You've had old mate just say there that he's got three fines on the ring road, whether they change the speed limit. And whilst that continues, we will struggle to get drivers, and drivers will say it's just not worth it the way that we're treated and the way that we're persecuted.
Rod Hanafee is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. You get a question for him, a real question as opposed to Mardo. That'd be great. 133353. Rod, just quickly, you wanted to talk about the realignment of the Bruce Highway. What's the latest?
Mate, you're aware, of course, of the flooding that's just occurred up there, and that cut one of our major arteries. We know that's a problem. But they are doing a realignment of the Bruce up around Tyro. Now, there is a parking bay just on the north side of Tyro. I was speaking with the Queensland Trucking Association today, and they have sought in that realignment a setup for a big truck parking bay either side. So I'm certainly going to contact them and do the same. It's something that if you come out of Childers, do you know where Apple Tree Creek is, Luke?
No.
Have you looked up that way?
Tell me where it is.
Up north of Childers. And you come from there to Brisbane. Now, they've just built a new truck stop at Traveston, virtually a new little suburb up there north of Gympie. But the last time I came through before that opened, there were 10 signed truck parking spaces from Apple Tree Creek to Burpengary. And that's like 3.5-4 hours in a truck. And you've got all those trucks coming out of North Queensland with the fruit and that sort of stuff, all that produce that comes down there, and there simply aren't enough rest areas. And mate, so that's the Queensland issue, is getting TMR to listen and build us one there. But I see RMS, and I've had, it's now Transport for New South Wales, they actually have a survey out for truck drivers about rest areas. And I'd love to see some more truckies go and fill that in, because it gives you a map, actually says where you have a problem or where there's not enough capacity. So if you go to Transport for New South Wales and look under truck rest areas, there's a survey there open until the end of the month, and I'd certainly like to see some more truckies contribute to that.
Another foundation member of the night shift here on Triple M is a bloke we've come to know and love as Whinging Warren. And he's on the phone now. Hello, brother.
Hello, Bonin. Hello, Rod. How you going?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Good, mate. Good. Bonin, I've just come out of COVID. I had it last week.
Yeah.
And I tried to get a RAT test in the weekend. Couldn't get one.
No.
Tried to get a PCR test, couldn't get one. So I'm back at work tonight, and I'm not even completely sure that I'm clear, but I've done me 7 days and a bit. So as far as getting a test, even though you are a truck driver, you can't bloody get one.
Rod?
The only chance I've probably got of getting one is at Ballina this morning. If I have enough time, I'm going to slip in and have one, but it was near impossible on the weekend. I tried from Friday through to this morning, yesterday morning, which was Monday morning, to try and get one before I went to work. Couldn't get one.
And now, while I was on holidays, I'm watching the news because I don't stop, and I could not believe it. And just in my local government area, Warren and Rod, 9-hour queues, 9-hour waiting queues for people wanting to get their PCR tests, and people sleeping in their cars overnight, not wanting to lose their place in the queue. It's a joke.
And do you agree, though, Luke, that some of those people were going unnecessarily? Like, I remember at one stage we had a big queue in Dubbo, and then they were on the radio saying, you only go and get a test if you are with symptoms or nominated as a close contact. And a lot of people were still going just to get a test to make sure they're okay. And that, of course, completely overloaded the system. And then with us, we had a number of sites on the highways, because up until Saturday night, you still had to have a negative result to get into Queensland. They've just opened the borders into Queensland. That only happened Saturday night. But prior to me going to Queensland last week, I had to try and go and get one. And then they've changed the law after that. And now that's fine. But yes, there was a lot of blokes running around trying to get a test to get into Queensland. And that made an enormous impact on our ability to transport freight.
Yeah, my understanding was, and Warren, you tell me how you interpreted it, I was under the impression that there were people lining up for PCR tests because they had symptoms and that they needed to prove that whether they were positive or negative to know whether or not they were going to isolate and miss out on work. Warren?
Luke, the week before I got the positive test, in the week I had the positive test, I had 3 PCR tests, one on the Tuesday morning, one on the Thursday morning, one on the Saturday morning. I stayed home from work on Monday because I was a bit unwell, right? And I got the test back from the Saturday morning at 2:30 on Tuesday morning. Now, I was at work on the Friday and all that while I was positive, and I have no doubt about that, mate. It is near impossible, and you know, like even to buy a rapid test. Like you said, it's very expensive, and
yeah, go on. He's dropped out, Warren. He's dropped out. And then I understand, Rod Hanafy, that there were people queuing up at testing sites near the New South Wales Queensland border because truckies were told that they had to have the PCR test, that the antigen test wasn't enough.
Yeah, and that's it. We waited so long for them to recognise their test. Now, there was a big setup on the phone. Union and others arranged it. Glenn Stirl, a senator from WA, was involved in it. And we were told in that conference, or in that hookup, that the rapid tests, if they were bought in sufficient numbers, come down to a cost of about $10 or $15. And yet, by the time we went and got tests elsewhere, and the pathology was done, and then you had to wait 2 and 3 days for your results and sit at the border, those tests were costing the government up to $180 each. Now, at the time, they simply refused to recognise the rapid tests, and then, you know, we were in that situation of having to find somewhere. They had to set up places for us to go, because where do you go in your B-double in a major capital city to find a park in normal times, let alone to go and get a test done to show that you're compliant?
Exactly. Exactly. 133353 is the telephone number. Lots to talk to Rod Hanafy about. First time this year. It's great to have you back, Rod, for our sixth year here on the Night Shift. We'll come back in a sec. This is the Super Jesus on the Triple M Network on the Night Shift. REM. Rod Hanafy is the president of the National Road Freighters Association. Boy, oh boy, the nation has very nearly come to a standstill with supermarket shelves nearing empty, precious COVID booster vaccinations not making their destinations, the rapid antigen tests not being able to be delivered, and the blame is sick drivers. So just what are the rules? And if you can't get tested, how do you know if you're positive? Where are trucks supposed to go to get tested so that they know whether or not they can keep working? If you are a close contact, let's just say your wife is feeling ill, she can't get hold of a test, she doesn't want to sit for 9 hours in a queue. So what do you do? Do you do the responsible thing? You're told if you've got symptoms, isolate, get better. But if you don't know, if you're positive, just what do truckies do, Rod Hanafy? It's a question that needs to be answered.
It certainly does, mate. And unfortunately, the way it's looking, I suppose the only silver lining you can pull out of this is they're saying that this third wave, this Omicron, is not as severe, but unfortunately, it's more contagious. And how do you solve that problem when you have to deal with people? And then how do we manage it? How do we keep going, mate? It's something that we're going to have to resolve very, very quickly, because, as you say, with empty shelves, people can't eat. Then they get concerned and they panic buy, and that creates a bigger problem. And
exactly.
That we really want to stop.
Exactly. Mike's online, wants to talk to you. G'day, Mike. What's up?
Hey, Brian. Hey, Luke. I don't think it's really that hard to fix. Like, okay, people are going to get Omicron, blah, 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 whatever. We've been doing zero contact changeovers for quite some time. So we have a truck that drives from Brisbane down to Maxville, Kempsey, drops the trailers, waits for the other driver, picks his trailers up, brings them back to Brisbane. So no one's touched anything, haven't even talked to each other. The other guy takes the trailers down to Sydney, they get delivered. So basically, you know, he gets to the DC down in Sydney, he phones in to do his paperwork, and then goes to the DC, unloads, and goes back to his depot. Doesn't matter if you've got Omicron or anything. He hasn't talked to anyone, seen anyone, or done anything. We bring our own food. We don't need to get out of the truck. So why is there a shortage of drivers? Only because people are being stupid and following these idiotic laws. Mandates. So if we actually did this job properly, there's no reason for us to see anyone or talk to anyone. The truck's filled up before we leave. So why? Why are the shelves empty?
Rod?
Look, the task that you have, and they've obviously gone to a lot of trouble to set it up, and you can comply. But I run interstate. Therefore, I have to get fuel. Sometimes I can't carry all my food with me. I need to get a meal. And I have to go into a servo to do that. Some of the places you go to, you still have to have interaction. You don't go and hold hands with the forklift driver. You stay away from him. And that's one of the things where we said at the start, the industry is an isolated industry. We did really well. But then it's families of truck drivers. You know, you're lucky enough to get home every day. Some blokes do. And their families, as Luke said before, may have been someone that's been in contact. And then, of course, the driver gets involved. So it's not just us. Some of us do actually have families. And it is other people that have included us in the problem, where we've tried very hard, and geez, we've been pretty successful up till now, in because of the fact we're alone, not transcribing it, not giving it to others. But some blokes simply don't have the ability to isolate as well as you do, mate.
I agree with what you're saying, but really, I think with all these hoops they're getting us to jump through, which they have been getting us to jump through, like up until December 15th last year, I could travel freely on the east coast of Australia, as long as I had a border pass and a RAT test or a PCR test. Then they brought in, I needed to be vaccinated. Now, for 2 years before that, I could go to Melbourne every week without an issue. But after a 15th, I had to be vaccinated. So, you know, they keep changing the goalposts, they keep changing the rules, but, you know, all these people have come into Queensland and brought the virus with them that were double vaxxed, or, you know, in a New South Wales or in a Victoria. It just doesn't make sense. We're opening places up, spreading disease with vaccinated people. Like, vaccinated people had to be, all these people that came into each state had to be double vaxxed and PCR tested before they could come in. I know, because my kids came from New South Wales to Queensland. But yes, now we've got cases in Queensland.
Again, it's a problem not only for our industry, but people are now finally seeing how important we are. And all we can ask blokes to do is do their best to stay safe and isolate, and hopefully, mate, we get to carry on.
But his point is quite valid. You had to vaccinate before you could get into Queensland, but people who are double vaccinated and even triple vaccinated with the booster are still getting sick. Not necessarily dying and going into ICU and being put on a respirator, but they're still getting sick and they're still carrying the bug.
Again, If I was the doctor and the Prime Minister, I'd have all these problems solved, mate, but I'm not, and some of them are a bit above my pay grade. We can only do what we can do, and each job is different too.
Mike, thanks for your call.
He's managed it.
All I want to say is let the transport industry sort itself out. These bureaucrats couldn't sort up a piss-up in a brewery. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate.
I think he's just made the promo. Davo, hello.
Yeah, good day. How you going?
Good, thanks, Davo. What's up?
I just want to ask Rod what his qualifications are.
As what?
Well, are you driving? What, you know, what's your license? Is it HD, MR? What's your license?
It's an MC.
Is it MC? And you're driving regularly, eh? Can you do a road ranger? You drive a road ranger or a synchro mesh boy?
No, I can drive a road ranger. Thank you very much.
Where are we going with this, Davo? What's your problem?
Oh, well, the problem is Rod seems to be shooting his mouth off about a lot of things.
He's president of the National Road Freighters Association. He's been How many years has he been driving, Rod?
About 40 years now.
He's been driving 40 years, Davo. You don't think he's qualified to have an opinion?
Well, I'm three above him.
Yeah, so?
I'm three above him.
I don't know if I'll pursue this, Rod. I will for entertainment value.
Davo, look, he's entitled to a view.
He is. Absolutely. Davo, yep. What has Rod shot his mouth off about today that you don't agree with?
Basically everything. He's talking about COVID and all this, and they've got to register and we've got to do this. No, back in 78, mate, we blockaded at Razorback and won.
Yep. Well, that's another argument. Did we win? Did we solve all our problems? And if we did, why do we still have the same ones now, mate? And I'm not responsible for those problems. I'm offering advice where I can give it. I'm asking people for problems that I will try and help them solve. And, mate, if you want to step up and do it, I'm more than happy for you to get out and help people as well.
Come around. Let's have a beer. Let's do it.
Well, I'm doing my part. I'm trying. What have you done to help others?
Okay, Davo, how would you fix the problems? What's your suggestion? Would you like to step up and become part of the Road Freighters Association and become a spokesperson?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd do it.
Yeah, I wonder. What advice would you have for Davo, Rod?
He's obviously got an opinion. He's entitled to it.
What is your opinion, Davo? What's the point you're trying to make, mate? Which we're listening to you.
Well, the thing is, with Rod, he's all talk. Nothing's happening. For years and years, it's the same situation. He gets on the radio, or even before him, they just flap their gums about everything. All the problems, everything else. Nothing's changed.
Okay, if you can solve them, mate, I'm more than happy for you to do that. I've been involved in road safety. I've been involved in getting rest areas improved. I actually spend my own time to go out and put up green reflectors, which drivers have told me have saved their lives. I'm involved with many of the associations and the government. Now, I can't solve all those problems on my own, and that's why I'm a member of the National Road Freighters. That's why we have other drivers who are members of those associations who lobby to try and improve things. Now, if you can find a way to fix all our problems tomorrow, mate, I'll stick back, I'll go to bed, I won't put 100 hours a week into all these extra efforts because you'll have solved it all, and I really hope you can.
Hang on, you're doing 100 hours out there, right at rest areas, putting drop toilets in, are you?
When did I say anything about drop toilets?
Davo, goodbye. We gave him a fair go. He's an idiot. 1-3-3-5. He doesn't listen. And questioning you about your qualifications, the hours that you put in trying to save lives on the road, the time you spend here on the radio, you should be asleep. And when did you say anything about drop toilets? Davo, Davo doesn't listen. And Davo, please call another radio station in future. You're welcome to your opinion. And if you don't think Rod's doing an adequate job, step up, have a crack. But don't make things up and don't say that Rod's saying things that he clearly hasn't said. Davo, drop off. Back in a sec. Just let me stress, Rod Hanafy doesn't need me to defend him. Rod's big enough and ugly enough. He's been doing this for long enough. He can defend himself. I just get the shits And it happens when people attack me. I don't care. Have a crack. I find it entertaining to sometimes debate people. But when people, I get the shits when people tell me I say things that I haven't said. They don't listen. And that's when I lose patience. And that's when I say goodbye to Dave-O, Rod.
Yeah, no, that's fair, mate. Look, I appreciate your support. And 99% of drivers I deal with, and look, only this afternoon I've gone and answered a couple of Facebook things and I've had blokes say, thanks for your efforts. Now, if Dave wants to do something, he can join the association. He can get out and have a go. But I find that those people that, you know, bring up and say, well, what's your qualifications? Or that have never heard what I do, and then they can't be really involved because, geez, it's pretty hard to hide with what I do with the truck, with owner a driver, with yourself. And they generally, you know, talk on what things done, but they won't do anything to fix it themselves.
Yeah, yeah. And it's okay to be criticised. And if you're doing something wrong and someone points out that I've said something that's incorrect, I'm the first to say, shit, I stuffed up. But when they start questioning your qualifications and loud-mouthing themselves from behind a telephone or a keyboard, I bet you, London to a brick, that Dave-O will not step up and join your organisation and try and help. I think he would rather ring up and whinge.
Anyway, let's talk to some serious truck drivers.
G'day, Adam. Adam.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we, both?
Yeah, we're good, Adam. Thanks. What did you want to say?
I've been driving for 10-odd years now. Never had a speeding fine. And just on the ring road there, eastbound, in the last 9 weeks, I've received 8 speeding fines from the one camera. Now, my question to Rod is, are you familiar with the area I'm talking about?
Is it the one before Sydney Road?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that's what I thought. As I say, you're not the first that I've heard this about, yes. The last bloke I spoke to said that when he complained, he was told that the roadworks side limit, speed limit was in place. Now, do you have a dash cam?
Then bang, the one about 160 metres before the camera, the overhead flashes at 80. You can't see it until you ride on it.
Yep.
So you start to slow down. Now, I start
Adam,
back
Adam, on. Adam, you keep dropping out. Start again.
Sorry. Come to 65 ton. So I go under the camera. I start. And then by the time I hit the spot, I realize I've been doing
it. Could you understand what he was saying, right? Adam, can you do me a favor? Stay there. I'm going to put you back to Jess. She's going to get your details. Robert Bell from Highway Advocates, a legal firm that specialises in exactly what you're talking about. I can get Robert Bell to talk to you tomorrow. So I'm going to put you back to Jess, Adam, and with your permission, we'll get your phone number. We'll ring you when Robert Bell's on tomorrow night, but we can't continue with you now because it's just the phone line's just no good. So stay there, Adam. Jess is going to talk to you off air. Rod, could you work out what he was saying?
Yes. So in Melbourne on the Ring Road, there is a series of elapsed time cameras, right? So they check you between 2 points, and if you go too fast, you get a ticket. But there is a camera when you are coming out of Melbourne, just before you get to Sydney Road, and there is a camera on the overhead gantry, and they have the electronic signs, so they change the speed signs for roadworks and that sort of stuff. And as I say, we've had 2 callers tonight. I've had 2 other people contact me about getting a ticket where they have changed the speed sign immediately and expect you to be able to adapt. So bring that up with Robert, and we'll see what he says, because there's got to be an avenue there where there is some understanding of the fact that 65 tonne doesn't automatically go from 100 to 80 because you changed the sign.
Well, how would you know? What are your qualifications?
Thanks,
I can see that Jess is talking to Adam now. We'll get Adam on with Robert Bell. Robert Bell from Highway Advocates tomorrow morning here on the night shift. Tanya's online. G'day, Tan. Tanya, talk.
Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Excellent. I think the time slots that we're often given can push us a bit with it when it comes to our book, because You know, I think if you're feeling a little bit secondhand and you sort of think, oh, I'll stop and have an hour, take the edge off it, and then you look at your book and you sort of go, well, hang on a second, if I do that, I'm not going to have a seven at the end of it.
Yes.
So, yeah, you sort of have to keep going, and I think that's causing a bit of grief out here on the highways.
And then, yeah, the DCs don't care. The time slot is booked 3 days in advance and so many things can occur. I have raised the issue. I believe a driver should be able to ring the DC. Now, you don't want every driver ringing the DC and changing their slot, but look, they're not going to cope with that. But in certain circumstances, there should be some flexibility provided. Now, they don't give us any at all, and yet they expect you to sit there for 2 and 3 hours to suit them. So it's got to work both ways. And if you've got a run that particularly puts you in that position, you know, depending on, like our mate there earlier, he doesn't really want to complain because he wants to keep his job. But whether you can raise that issue with your employer, whether it's something that we as an industry can get the DCs to accept, Jesus, that's a big ask. And the one thing that I'll say to you is that in the States, they were trying to bring in a law that said if you were delayed more than an hour at DCs, you would have to be paid. The DCs had that much power in the States that they got that knocked on the head because, geez, I was waiting for that to come in over there so we could bring it in here.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call.
That's all right. You have a nice morning.
Thank you. Appreciate your input. Look, I'll tell you what. We'll make this next call your last call. You've given us so much time, considering your lack of qualifications, Rod. You've given us so much time this morning. Really appreciate it. You've got to get to bed. You've got to sleep because you've got to drive. But if anyone has a question for Rod Hanafy, email thenightshift@triplem.com.au and we'll pass it on to him. Rod's with us every Tuesday morning, happy to give his time to try and make a difference and to hear what it is you have to say. So we'll make Nigel the last call. Robert Bell from Highway Advocates, the legal firm that specialises in helping truckies. He's on air 1 o'clock tomorrow, Eastern Standard Daylight Saving Time. You've got a question for Robert Bell, have a think about it and jump on the phone tomorrow morning. Nigel, good morning.
G'day, Luke. How you going, mate?
Great.
I just wanted to say about the AdBlue. I just wondered, Rod, you said earlier that the government's working on something to get more AdBlue.
Yes.
Yesterday I had to fill up going from Sydney doing a changeover, and I stopped at 4 different BPs to get AdBlue, and none of them had any. And I ended up getting some on the Hume Highway today on the way to Melbourne.
Right. I know that some sites have restricted the amount you could buy to try and make it last. There were some, geez, we talked about panic buying just before with the public. Unfortunately, some companies went out and panic bought AdBlue, and of course, it doesn't doesn't have a very long shelf life. So, yes, what happened, mate? Incitec in Australia had said that they were going to stop making urea, which meant it wasn't going to be available. The government has now got an assurance from them that they are going to continue making it and upgrade the volume that they make. But we got to that point where it was so low that it's going to take a little bit to catch up. So I can't guarantee you supply. The government tell us they have listened and are sorting it, but we've just got to get through until they do.
Yeah, because a lot of the servos, you've got a limit of 50 litres per purchase.
Yes.
Which is fine, but then a lot of them are also running out of AdBlue. So I was finding on the Pacific and the Hume, you go in there and they've got the little tags on each bowser, and there's no AdBlue at all, the servos. I even tried some in Sydney just to see if I could actually just top up, and that wasn't any more helpful anyway. I went to about 4 or 5 over a 24-hour period, and all of them had no AdBlue at all.
How, just out of interest, how many kilometres of travel does 50 litres get you?
50 litres. I put some in today, and that gave me about half a tank. Depending on, from my understanding of Rod, you can actually verify this, that on your longer trips, you're using more AdBlue because your engine's running hotter. So So probably using, I don't know, about a quarter of a tank per trip if you're doing, say, 1,000 Ks. So 50 litres, if that's only giving you about half a tank, that's only giving you about, you know, a couple of days' worth.
And when it runs out, the truck doesn't 100% stop, but it gets down to about 20% capacity. Is that correct, Rob?
Yeah, it'll debase.
Yeah, their computer reads it's out of our blue and it slows down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard you can, some of the Volvos and newer trucks, you can turn them off, but it will void the warranty.
Yes, I've heard that too.
And look, what I'll try and do is talk to a couple of those major fuel suppliers between now and next week and see if they can give us an answer on where they're at. I can't help you in the interim, mate, and you've done the best you can to try and top up here and there. If people don't go silly and buy too much of it, I'm hoping we'll get through, but I'll try and come up with a better answer for next week.
Yeah, well, my company is based in Melbourne, but I'm based in Brisbane. So they've got a tank at the depot in Melbourne, but obviously because I'm based in Brisbane, we go all over. It's a bit of a hassle sometimes when you're going backwards and forth from Sydney to Brisbane and so forth, and then eventually get to Melbourne to fill up. I don't know if it's the case, but I'm finding usually Melbourne is a little bit better for the suppliers at the service stations. Maybe because New South Wales is a bit busier. Some of their servos don't have as much supply.
Yeah, well.
Quickly, just on the DCs and supply, I was talking to one of the guys at the DC at Woolworths the other day, and he was saying that during the Christmas New Year period, they actually have a bit more of a skeleton staff. And so half the issue is that they're not able to pick all the orders to get to the stores because they have limited staff. And then some of their staff come down with COVID. And so they're losing, sometimes quarter to half their shift, every shift. So they can't keep up with the volume that's required.
Yeah, and that's the people. So you know how DCs operate, Luke. You send in a whole truckload of, for example, Coca-Cola, and then they make up an order for each store. Years ago, the stores would carry a stock that might last them for a few days or a week. But now the way all of your local supermarkets are set up is that those deliveries come in every day. And they come from a DC where they order one carton of Coke and one of this and one of that and that, all that sort of stuff. And those truck drivers deliver it each day. So we've changed the way where the store used to carry some stock to what's virtually just-in-time deliveries into the DCs. And if they can't pack those pallets, as he's discussing, because they haven't got the staff to do that, well, then it can't get out to the store. So that's another contributing factor to why some of those
God, you got a lot. You got a lot to think about, you mob. Nigel, Nigel, thank you for your input.
Yeah, no worries, Luke. But thanks, Rod. You're doing a good job, Rod. Don't worry about the other fella. I love hearing from you guys and you too, Luke. Hope you guys have a happy New Year.
Thank you, and call back any time, Nigel. 133353 is the telephone number if you want to talk on general topics. We've got a lot to talk about. That's it for Rod Hanafy. He needs to sleep. Where are you off to?
Well, that's it. The truck's broken down, and they're fixing the truck, which is why I've been able to give you a little bit more time than normal.
Oh, that's good.
So, yes, hope you won't be ready.
This isn't your brand-new truck you sent me a photo of, the brand-new.
No, goodness me, no. No, no, this is the one that I've been in waiting for the brand-new truck, and it finally decided that it's got a water leak that we couldn't fix quickly.
So. No, what's happened is it knows you got the new truck, and it's sulking.
Yeah, buggy you.
It's sulking. It's like a little kid when his baby brother or sister comes home from hospital. He plays up.
Rod's going to desert me, yeah.
He plays up. Rod, if people want to contact you?
Mate, they can get to me on my website, which is truckright.com.au, and welcome all positive feedback.
Yes, if you've got something to contribute, if you're willing to be positive, it's okay to be critical, but come up with an alternative, come up with a solution. That's what we want to hear. Rod, I will talk to you next Tuesday, my friend. You take care of yourself. Keep taking your Nature B. There's a new shipment arriving for you. It'll be there tomorrow, the next day, okay?
Good on you, mate. Safe travelling to all out there, and you take care, Luke.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye. Rod Hanafy, President of the National Road Freighters Association. And he loves his Nature B. He loves his Nature B. And he ran out, so I've got to make sure he's topped up because we want Rod healthy. And if you are a driver and if you want more energy but you don't want to have the fizzy, sugary drinks, the high caffeine drinks. You've got to look after your health. Nature B is what you need. Two little golden capsules of pollen. Take them every day. It comes with a money-back guarantee. More energy, a boosted immune system, a supported health system. And you'll find that you'll just feel better during the day. You'll find that you'll sleep better. And that's what people are saying. Over 98% of people who have bought Nature B through the night shift have reordered. They've reordered. What does that tell you? It works. There is an Australia Day special. Your 6 month supply is boosted by an extra month. 7 month supply plus the lip balm. $129.95 plus delivery anywhere in Australia. It's going to keep you powered up all the way till August. The offer ends January 31. Powerpollen.com.au. I've been taking Power Pollen, Nature Bee's Power Pollen, and endorsing it for 22 years this year. I've known the owner, Jeff Cook, for 22 years this year. And I wouldn't endorse it if it didn't work. I wouldn't endorse it if it didn't come with the money-back guarantee. So why don't you try it? Powerpollen.com.au. Offer ends January 31. 7 months. The lip balm gets you through to August. It'll get you through your shift. This is the Night Shift on Triple M. We have a lot to talk about this morning. And for those who couldn't talk to Rod, he'll be back again next Tuesday. 133353 if you want to get through. Let's chat.